B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
So, go move your car. I want you to go move your car. They sent out an email yesterday.
I had trouble with
my
email.
They said, don't park against the fence, then
there's
you parked against the fence.
As soon as I...
There's three. You were one of them. As soon as I pulled in, I go, oh, there goes Zoe.
God forbid it. Break, bus can't get
breaking
in.
The rules again. Breaking the rules. They sent out another email, Jim? Is that what just happened?
Reminder.
Reminder. Yeah. A reminder email. The tour bus coming in there for some reason. What's up?
What's going on?
You want to start football today? Because I do.
Yes.
Have you seen the latest on Kyler Murray?
Yep.
Who yesterday after our show declared for the NFL draft.
Yeah, I absorbed a lot on this. Yes.
You've absorbed a lot? Well,
yep.
Share.
I've watched him a lot.
All right, let's do this. Give us your thoughts on Kyler Murray as a quarterback first.
I've been saying it for a while. He is as close to Baker Mayfield as you can get. I think he's better because of his legs. I think he actually has a better pocket presence. And I got into this with Jim Louth at the end of the year where Jim's like, he'll take Tua over Kyler Murray. I said, in your dreams, I would take this guy over Tua 20 out of 20 times easily. This kid's a much better quarterback. He has a better feel for the game. He has a cannon of an arm. He's a little short, but I think Baker's proved you can play at this next level. And he's of that same ilk, coached the same way. I just thought at the end of the year, Kyler Murray was the best quarterback in college football.
Wow.
Period.
Wow.
Period.
I did not know this.
Chip and I went back and forth like this a million times.
You think he's going to be better than Baker Mayfield?
I think he's going to be better than Baker Mayfield.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
Because I think you have the element of the legs now.
Kyler Murray has tweeted that he is fully committing his life and time to becoming an NFL quarterback.
Smart.
Putting to rest the doubts about him flip-flopping between baseball and the NFL. And
more guaranteed money in baseball, no doubt about it. Probably be the easier route for him. But if he loves football, you play football. And you go out and you play the sport.
Well, the thing is, if you flop in football, as we talked about last week briefly, because if I were him, I'd be like, I'm going to go take the baseball career. There's so much guaranteed money in baseball. Good. But this is what I didn't think ahead on. If you flop in football, if you're a bust, the end of your rookie deal.
Yeah.
Go play baseball.
Go play baseball. They'll still take you. You can't do that in reverse.
You know what I did without football over the weekend?
I don't think it's as easy to go from baseball being a flop to going to the NFL.
And you know what I did over the weekend without football? I sat there and I watched Deion Sanders do a one-on-one sit-down with him, which is phenomenal because I think there's only one other guy that could sit there and talk to him about, you know, what is your real interest?
Well, Bo Jackson could do it, too.
Yeah, and
Bo
was brought into the conversation also. But at the beginning of the football season, Deion said, I got some advice for you, Kyler Murray.
Oh, boy.
Pick up that baseball bat and don't look back. But now at the end of the year, after watching him play. And
that's not what Deion did.
I know that. But Deion said now, you know what I see in you? I see a football player that has the ability to play some baseball as a hobby. But you're a football player. Deion's completely flipped after watching him play this year. He's like, you. He said, I see a lot of you and me, you know. But you can't do what I did. You can't play a football game at 1 o'clock, get on a plane, and go play game five for the Atlanta Braves, which is what Deion did. Played, I think, a 1 o'clock game with the Dolphins 1 year on a Sunday and went and played game five. Where the hell was the series at? Was it up in Cleveland? Was it Braves Cleveland? I think game five back when Deion was playing baseball.
Oh, no, that was
at New York. Shoot.
Pittsburgh?
It was Pittsburgh. You're right.
Yeah.
It was Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Pittsburgh.
And Deion said...
from Miami to Pittsburgh. The Falcons had played in Miami that day, and he flew from Miami up to Pittsburgh.
He said, Deion said, you can't do it because you're a quarterback. You need to be there. You need to be aware of everything. I can just do it, show up, and play. Quarterbacks can't do that.
Right.
And it was a pretty damn good back and forth. And coming out of that, you just knew Kyler Murray's going to play football.
All right.
And I was not surprised he declared.
So you think he's good? You think he's better than Baker Mayfield?
Yep.
Phil Perry writes this, NBC Sports Boston. in a league where mediocre quarterbacks rarely become available in free agency, and where it costs boatloads in terms of draft capital to be able to maneuver up in the draft to select a coveted passer, Murray will probably represent significant value for a team that can get over his height. He's listed at 5'11", though, and
looks shorter than that.
That's not true. Yeah. He's got an enhanced height number.
Baker's listed at 6'1".
Also enhanced.
Anytime one of those little guys walks around with the chest out like that, you know, they're a little short.
Phil Perry writes this. Yeah. We'll get into Murray's height in a minute, but his other physical traits would seem to make offensive coordinators drool. His arm appears strong enough to function in December and January in Foxborough. His instincts are to play from behind the line, but his legs have enough juice that he'll make snaps look pretty even when they shouldn't. Make him look pretty even when they shouldn't.
Why do you put Foxborough in there?
Because his premise here is, could the Patriots take a shot at Kyler Murray?
Oh, he'll be gone.
And that's sort of my question, because if he's as good as you think he is,
yeah,
someone in the NFL is going to think he's as good as that, right? Like, someone will look at him and say, oh, this is the next Baker Mayfield.
Cliff Kingsbury, who was the head coach.
That Baker went up the board last year. Do you remember us talking about Baker Mayfield at this time last year? And then he became...
I told you,
hotter than hot.
Well, but by the time we got through the best,
yeah, by the time we got to the draft, it was like Baker Mayfield and move up like the for an entire round. It felt like
people were talking about, was he going to be a
shot up the board?
And no, I think, you know, we talk about we are sometimes guilty of the recency bias.
Yeah,
but teams have to be too when they look at what Baker Mayfield was able to do. When they look at Patrick Mahomes and how he was. Yeah. You know, thought of as like, okay, he might be able to get the job done in Kansas City. Well, here's a couple of guys that we were unsure about as young quarterbacks coming into the league. You know, how are they going to be able to perform? Well, they're performing. They're outstanding.
Right.
So why would, if you were in need of a quarterback, the recency bias is going to play. It has to play into, maybe not for the scouts, maybe not for the grizzled vets, but for the guy who ultimately makes the decision. Do you want to be the guy that passes on the next Baker Mayfield or the next Patrick Mahomes or anybody like that who might, you know, there's some questions as to whether or not, you know, he's fully 100% the prototypical football player. So what? Because some of these other guys haven't been either. There were at least a question or two, and they performed right out of the gate.
Yeah.
It, like, immediately. There you go. There's your quarterback.
Phil is working on the premise, as he writes, that Murray will almost certainly fall in the draft because of his size, meaning the Patriots perennially picking at the bottom of the first round could have a rare but realistic shot at one of the best quarterbacks in the draft.
Yeah, I don't even consider him athlete. I think he's quarterback. You know, sometimes you get Lamar Jackson, he'll come out and you say, well, he's a hell of an athlete. You know, his legs, and try and conform to the pocket. This kid's a thrower first. And then it becomes problematic third and four with his legs. Now all of a sudden everything's in play. He could create massive problems.
Do you blame a team for not wanting to take a guy who's probably 5'9"?
No. No, I don't. I think the game's changed. I do. I think the game has changed.
I think it has to a degree, but if I'm running the draft board, I'm like, you know what?
5'9" scares you.
I see a lot of ability there, and good for him, but I'm not messing with that. I mean, I'm not changing what we do for him.
If Trent Brown's your backside tackle and he's 6'8", how the hell is he going to see anything on
that's
the left side?
That's what I'm saying.
That's why. How's the problem?
Right.
But
do you go spread?
I am a heightist when it comes to quarterbacks.
How does he throw the ball over?
Like Russell Wilson? Russell Wilson. What a winner. I mean, I love Russell Wilson. I love watching him play. I would never have drafted him.
Right, I agree.
I would have never have drafted that guy.
But those type of players have made me open my mind to, okay, can these kids play? See, Cliff Kingsbury said at the beginning of football season, when he wasn't even good enough to be the head coach at USC, that if he had the chance to pick anybody and he had the number one pick, he would take Kyler Murray, number one overall. This is back in September. Cliff Kingsbury has Eric Burkhardt as his agent. Gee, guess who Kyler Murray picked to be his agent? Eric Burkhardt.
So let's play the game. Let's play the game.
Yeah.
If he's on the board when the Patriots pick at the end of the first round, are you taking this guy?
I think he might.
Will they take this guy?
I think he might. It's time. It's time to take somebody. You need him. You need a tight end. You need a lot. You have a lot of needs.
Well, you don't know you have it. You don't know.
I mean, the drama of the offseason with the team, it's no longer about OTAs and who's showing up. That's all gone. They won a Super Bowl. So all that stuff you want to argue about guys being around really doesn't matter. They proved that. They proved people wrong on that one. Now it's who's coming back, who's staying, who's going.
I'm Kyler Murray and the retiring Patriots draft me, I'm going to play baseball because I know I'm sitting around for 3 years not playing.
Yeah, and learning offense. And
Yeah, no, I'm not playing for 3 years. I'm going to go play baseball for 3 years. I'll come back to football.
Never
if
even
I need,
thought
I need
about that. What if he doesn't like the team that drafts him?
You're going to be a bitch.
Could he totally reverse this and then bail and go play baseball?
Yeah, absolutely.
What a risk that would be, too.
Yeah.
To factor that in.
Yeah.
Fully committed to football until all of a sudden I get drafted by a team that wants to make me their backup quarterback.
Right.
Then I'll go play for the Oakland Athletics.
Well, what
Thank
do you want to do? Do you want to go? Then the other caveat is, do you want to get drafted by a bad team at the beginning of the first round? Or are you going to get your head bashed in because the team sucks and it's a bad team? There's a reason teams are picking in the top five because they're really not that good.
I'm sort of torn on this because, first of all, I'm against short quarterbacks, number one. Number two, though.
As I have always been. But I watch this kid play. And
I don't think this is the year the Patriots should sell out on the draft to get their quarterback. I've never felt that they needed to do that.
Nope.
But I also like the idea of, hey, if something falls our way, though, we'll take advantage of it.
Oh, that's different.
I like being able to do that if you're them.
That's different.
Hey, we don't need a quarterback, but someone's there for us, and we like his ability, so we want to take him because we can, and he's available, and we may have our next quarterback without selling out a draft down the road to do it.
Sell out.
Like, that's sort of attractive, is it not?
Sure is.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
People who have not watched him play and they see highlights of him running around making plays, they're automatically going to say, wow, he's a great athlete. But hey, come on. This is the NFL. This is the NFL. You've got to be able to make plays from the pocket NFL. Man, give me a break. He makes all his plays from the pocket. I talked to Lincoln Riley about this guy all year, just like you. And I said, comparing him to Baker Mayfield, ability to process defenses quickly. Very similar, he said. Ability to read coverage and make quick decisions, get the ball out and throw accurately. Very similar. The difference is that this kid, when he pulls it down, you better hold on to your hat because it's Reggie Bush. This is not Deshaun Watson running. This is not Russell Wilson running. This is Reggie Bush.
So, in case you didn't know, Mike Mayock, that's not Mike Mayock, by the way. That was Kirk Herbstreit.
Oh, Mike's got a real job.
Mike Mayock has been hired as the GM of the Raiders, which that story completely flew under the radar. I don't think we've mentioned it at all in the lead up to the Super Bowl or anything.
We didn't
mention that story even once.
Yeah.
So,
no more friend of Bill.
Mike Mayock, who was formerly a big draft guy, and I think is still going to participate in some coverage. Some form of coverage here, even as a GM, right?
Is he?
He's going to do something. I thought he's.
Is
gonna,
that right? I don't know.
I think he's going to make an appearance on something.
Jesus.
Yeah. But.
I mean, he's not even a coach. He's a GM. He's got to be involved in all the combine stuff. He's got to watch all that stuff.
They got
to
get their ass going.
I think he's still going to be on something, though, like as a one-time thing. I think. I swear I saw something. Like it's like going to be like his final goodbye.
So that was Herbstreit.
That's Herbstreit, though, on his podcast.
Herbstreit.
That was on SportsCenter. Kirk Herbstreit.
That was on television.
You know, saying he's Reggie Bush running with the ball.
They gave him that much time to talk like that on SportsCenter on this?
Talked for like 4 minutes about it,
Oh, wow.
My first year doing radio in Providence.
He talks a lot.
My first year doing radio in Providence,
I
worked with a guy that thought his name was Herbstreit.
No. First name,
Herb.
But are you hearing the sell job there?
Yeah.
Are you hearing the push?
Oh, my God.
From these college guys? My point on Mayock is this. Herbstreit's starting to sound like Mayock a little bit. He is.
A little acting in there.
He's starting to sound a little bit like Mayock.
Guys,
now he's taking over the Mayock.
Through the hips. He works lateral movement like Reggie Bush, explosive to the outside. Yeah, no.
Look at the team that's sitting there that has the first pick, and look at their new head coach. And I'm not trying to start anything, but I know Josh Rosen was selected first for the Cardinals last year, but I don't know if he necessarily fits with what Cliff Kingsbury likes to do. It wouldn't shock me between now and maybe even draft day to see Cliff Kingsbury possibly either move out of that spot, but maybe get rid of Josh Rosen and possibly try to pull the trigger to get a Kyler Murray because he fits perfectly with what the Cardinals are probably going to want to do with this new offensive approach. So
do you catch all that, too? That means Josh Rosen would be on the way out, and the Cardinals would be using the number one pick on Kyler Murray. When I hear that, I just think there's no way he falls to the Patriots at the bottom of the first round. But anyway, that would mean Josh Rosen gets traded. Where's he going to go? Who wants him?
Not me. I don't want him here.
Think the Patriots might want him?
No. No. I think he's soft.
Put him on the list of possibilities, though.
I think he's frail, and I think he's kind of smarmy. For the guy that tells you I'm the guy,
value, though.
Dude, be the
guy. A lot of value.
Don't tell me you're the guy. Be the guy.
Value. There is value there.
There's value because you're not giving up. You gave up Garoppolo for two, and you were head over heels for Garoppolo. Yeah, well, that might be interested for a fourth rounder.
Do you want to hear more of the sell job?
Or would you give up a third rounder for Rosen? I'd take a shot on three. I ain't giving up a one or two for him.
Well, I don't think anybody's given up a one or a two for him.
No,
based on what you saw last year.
Top 10 pick.
Based on a top 10 pick and a team is bailing on after one season.
14 picks?
Is it one? How long has he been there?
One season.
Yeah, one season.
Yeah, they brought in Sam Bradford and Josh Rosen last year.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
And they won up that by bringing in a college coach.
Sam Bradford used to be my guy.
This guy.
Used to be my guy.
Kick and throw, man. I mean, I saw it.
It feels like there's ability there that's been
damaged.
Underutilized.
Well, it starts at the uniform.
He's a damaged player.
And Mike Glennon. They brought in Bradford, Mike Glennon, and Josh Rosen last year.
What a crew.
Another guy to meet $45
million. Okay. Listen, more. More from the college draft media guys. Listen to this statistic, though. This is how you know you're being sold something here. This is from the podcast.
In the last 10 years, quarterbacks who are 6 foot and shorter have had fewer balls batted down at the line of scrimmage than quarterbacks who are 6'1 or taller. Last year was the most we've ever seen quarterbacks throw the ball outside.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. So there are fewer balls batted down by quarterbacks under 6 feet than those who are over 6 feet. How many guys are under 6 feet in the NFL?
Not many. I don't think any.
What's it, like Russell Wilson versus the rest of the league? Well, yeah,
Russell's
no kidding.
Over 6 feet.
Think about the sample size there. Russell Wilson's listed at 5'11".
Is he?
Yeah.
Jesus.
That might count with Drew Brees, too, because isn't Brees listed at 6 foot even? So it's 6 foot even and under or 6'1 and taller.
But it's spread off.
Quarterbacks are tall.
Yeah.
So there's like less than a handful of guys who are under 6 feet playing that position. And over the last 10 years, no kidding, they would have fewer batted balls. They've thrown so fewer amount of passes than the rest of the NFL. That's how you know you're being sold something now. There's like this push. That makes me skeptical of them as well. Skeptical of short quarterbacks. And now the rest about the rolling out, a few more passes thrown outside the pocket than inside the pocket last year, more than ever before, all this stuff here.
In the last 10 years, quarterbacks who are 6 foot and shorter have had fewer balls batted down at the line of scrimmage than quarterbacks who are 6'1 or taller. Last year was the most we've ever seen quarterbacks throw the ball outside of the pocket compared to inside of the pocket. And over the last 10 years as well, last year's rushing doubled what it was 10 years ago in terms of quarterbacks running the football, and was the most that we've seen in the last decade. So you look at, if you're looking for statistics to back it up, those are three that show you the game is changing, the offenses are evolving, and quarterbacks are more mobile, and the lack of height is not affecting them when they are even throwing from inside the pocket.
So
this is such nonsense.
Just to give you an idea.
Yeah.
Going back to 2000.
This is such nonsense. It's not impacting them at all.
You mentioned last year.
Short guys? No problem.
In 2016, there was Russell Wilson, who was listed at 5'11", Drew Brees at 6 foot, and I think Tyrod Taylor was listed at 6'1". Everyone else was 6'2 or taller.
Okay.
So there were three.
That tells you how dumb those stats are.
And technically, Baker Mayfield he measured at the combine at 6 feet, 5/8 of an inch. So he's technically listed at 6'1".
So he's over.
So he's the over category.
He's not even in that category.
Right.
So you're talking about two or three guys.
And one of them's Drew Brees, and the other one's Russell Wilson.
And it wasn't about a percentage. It wasn't about a percentage of throws. It was about total number. Total number of balls batted down.
That's dumb.
So you've got a group of that is so moronic. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That is such a horrible stat. And the fact that there are more passes being thrown outside the pocket than ever before. What if you have a guy who's incapable of really settling back in the pocket in the NFL and throwing the football?
How does
that stat help him?
You want him?
Because it's more acceptable to throw outside the pocket. You still have got to be able to make the throw in the pocket.
Yeah, you want
what
ideally,
the hell?
You want him to be able to do both.
Yes.
Ideally.
That stat, it's like, yeah, well, now there's, now there's 25% of throws, and I don't know the number. I'm making this up. Outside the pocket. More than ever before.
He looks like
what
a
does that
kid.
Mean?
He looks so like that, a little kid.
So that means he can make the throw on 25% of the time? Again, it's a made-up number.
He looks like a little kid, but the kid can play. I know that. I watch a lot of his games.
Joe is in Barrington on Kyler Murray. What do you think, Joe?
What's up, guys?
What's up?
Rosen is only due $7 million over the next 3 years. He was a 10th overall pick, and he was signed for $17 million guaranteed. So even if Murray goes in the first round and is a bust, he'll still get $15 million guaranteed, which is why he's picking, you know, baseball as the secondary sport. As far as the quarterback situation, the top five players in the draft are defensive players, right? You have the tackle from Alabama, Rashawn Gary at Michigan, kid from Kentucky, and Bosa. And of the top 10 teams, a lot of them don't need quarterbacks. They all need defensive players.
Now, another one fell today, too. Another guy tore his ACL. The kid from Mississippi State, Simmons, tore his ACL.
Right, and that's why I wasn't even including him. But where I see Murray going is if Arizona wants to trade down and get him. I mean, Herbstreit is right. Herbstreit, by the way, had two boys who signed with Clemson, which is a wild stat. But at number 13, though, Brian Flores and Chad O'Shea, who have a good defense, who want to put butts in the seats and compete with Belichick, could take a pass on Murray. What do you think? It's 13. They need a quarterback.
Sure. I think Nick Foles is a viable option down in Miami. You put Foles down there in Miami, and you get Flores, get him going on that defense. They have some talent on the outside. They could compete. I'm not saying they're going to win a division.
Which means the division would be three young, highly drafted quarterbacks and Tom Brady.
Yeah.
That's what it would be.
Yep.
Sam Darnold, who I think is the best of the group.
I agree.
You'd add Kyler Murray into that? What?
Darnold over Kyler Murray? You're high on Murray. You weren't this high on Darnold last year.
Who?
You were high on Darnold,
no.
But you weren't this high on Darnold last year.
No. I wasn't this high. I think this kid's I think this kid is hotter coming
Darnold's
out.
The best of the group, so you'd put Murray
Darnold,
in the best
Darnold's
of the,
group. The best of the current group, not with Murray in there.
So you would take Kyler Murray over Sam Darnold?
I'd probably go with Darnold.
If I got to build my offense,
I mean, I'm more of the pocket guy. Like, Darnold has shown me he could throw on the run, and he easily can play at this next level.
I hope everybody understands what the Jets have at quarterback right now.
Oh, he's stunk.
It's easy to sort of ignore the Jets because here's what I'm hoping. I'm just hoping that the Jets continue to screw their team up like they typically do and do stupid things like hire Adam Gase, right, and bring him in there. And they continue to build a roster that just isn't functional. I hope that they continue to screw up their team because they found the quarterback. They have the QB. That's not an issue there. Quarterback, they've checked the box, and he's really good. So I hope they just find ways to completely screw it up around him because you don't want that team to get good. No. Not looking for that.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Was that awesome? How about how fast Cooks looked on that strike?
Trying to look for you. Like, you know me.
So much respect for you.
Likewise.
You're the best.
You've done a great job.
Yeah, so, you know, you're the best, man.
L.A. Rams, bunch of amateurs. Brian Hoyer exploited one of their weaknesses, and that is enjoying being in front of the camera. From Burt Breer, MMQB. Before the Super Bowl, Brian Hoyer watched an episode of Peyton Manning's Detail series on ESPN+ on Jared Goff. And it hit him right away. The offense is the same. Looking at the Rams tape confirmed it. Then he saw an NFL Network interview where Goff and McVay discussed the coach being in the quarterback's ear up until the 15-second play clock cutoff, which was something Shanahan did with Hoyer. Hoyer then went back to watch Amazon's All or Nothing series on the Rams. It was about the 2016 season, but it had footage of OTAs from McVay's first spring there, and Hoyer recognized the language. Hoyer knew all their language in their offense because it was a ripoff of Kyle Shanahan, who he played for in two different spots, including his last stop, San Francisco. Brian Hoyer went to ESPN+. Who the hell pays for ESPN+, by the way?
Jim Lott.
I don't know anybody. I work in sports. I don't know anybody that has a subscription to that nonsense. Although I see them advertising that Seau 30 for 30 on ESPN Plus. It comes up in Twitter, Facebook, everything.
I graduated.
Get ESPN Plus to watch the Junior Seau 30 for 30. I have cable, right? Everyone has cable. Do you know how much of your cable bill goes to ESPN? Now they want more money from us? Your network blows to begin with. We already give you all this money. Give me the rest of your content, you losers. My God, ESPN. They can't die fast enough. Anyway, back to the topic. And that is Brian Hoyer. Went to ESPN Plus. He has a subscription.
Yeah.
Apparently. Yeah. He's paying for it. And watches a series that involves golf. Peyton Manning's ESPN Plus show. Who knew that even existed? Then he goes to an interview on NFL Network. And then he goes on Amazon and it logs into his Amazon Prime account and goes and watches an All or Nothing series from 3 years ago and figures out, I know the language here. I know what they're doing.
Hey, Jared. How fast is Brandon Cooks?
Boy wonder here, Sean McVay, just took all the crap from Kyle Shanahan and made it better, I guess.
I wonder what Zach Taylor's going to do.
How about that? How about that revelation here? That must make you feel great if you're like the Green Bay Packers or the Cincinnati Bengals. You just hired like a, you thought was Sean McVay. You just found out that McVay's a Kyle Shanahan knockoff.
How'd the Rams deal with pressure once New England started to get to him? Did they ever adjust? Did they ever like match protect?
No.
They ever keep a back in?
No, they didn't.
No.
But how great is this? Brian Hoyer, you genius.
Yeah.
Going through all this stuff, all this crap to figure that out, and he did.
If you can't help the team on the field, that's how you help it. You know, his ability to be the other guy and give them that look. You know, your job is to study the other guy, and that's kind of what he did, and he fell right into it.
I mean, how about that? He has an Amazon Prime account and an ESPN Plus account just to make that all go. And so, as he said, you know, he figured out the language, and he's playing Jared Goff in practice leading up to the Super Bowl, and he expressed to Bert that once the game started and having, you know, the defense play the way that they were, he said, you know, he takes pride in that because he could tell they were playing fast because they were confident in knowing what it was that they were seeing. Because everything that Brian Hoyer did.
One of the parts of that story, too, is the revelation to me was that McVay's not the first guy with the talking up to 15 seconds in the headset. Shanahan did that with Hoyer when he had a great season that year, or he had a great half a season before he got hurt. Shanahan was talking in his ear up to 15 seconds before the snap.
So when it comes down to playing quarterback, Brian Hoyer is Jared Goff. That is true. But he's smart enough to know what the hell it was that they were doing. And he shared that information with his team all because he was able to go on ESPN Plus and Amazon Prime and watching NFL Network. And going and looking for any sort of piece of information that these Rams gave up by allowing themselves to talk about themselves a little too much, to pull back the curtain a little too much, to allowing their, you know, OTAs to be filmed for a media piece. I mean, it's great marketing. Sean McVay's hottest thing in football right up until he lost the Super Bowl. But still, what a guy. What a move.
It all comes back to cameras rolling on teams, huh?
Yeah, it does. This time by choice. This time by choice. So congratulations, Brian Hoyer. Congrats. Hell of a job you did.
Hey, cameras rolling, man. It's not good for teams. It really lets you in and looks at it. You know what I mean? Look at Cleveland last year. What we end up thinking about Hugh Jackson after that Hard Knocks. This guy's a boob. His own staff looks down to him. It's just, man, you let cameras in. All of a sudden, you know, people look inside your organization like, okay, we picked this, that, and there from here. And here's Bill Belichick in a matter of 2 weeks with Brian Hoyer's help going back and looking at little things like that to help them implement a game plan or study some calls.
You see the back and forth going on now? The Lions are like, oh, no, the Raiders would be a much better option for Hard Knocks this year.
Oh, yeah, they went to Jets, too. Jets are like, no. Nope.
Matt Patricia, Hard Knocks, that might not be good. They might get forced in.
That could be bad.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because it doesn't sound like Hoyer had it all figured out until the week of the game with all this stuff. But he did. He found something. Figured it out.
Got the Wi-Fi plan on the plane on the way down.
Yeah, he does.
Get the ESPN Plus.
There you go. Good thing they had the Wi-Fi on the plane, Zoe.
Nice.
Good thing. I thought that's a great story. Great story. Hoyer figured out the Rams. Oh, wait a minute.
Wait, he didn't.
Well, so now you see value in Hoyer.
Oh yeah, no, I love Hoyer now. I'm a Hoyer guy.
He could be a radio or TV producer with that with those skills.
I'm in on Hoyer.
Yep.
I've been out on Hoyer for a long time. I'm in.
He's third Jim Lowe.
How do you can't give up Hoyer? Devin McCourty in the story talks about every week Hoyer being a guy who's been around for 10 years. Knows how to figure out what other quarterbacks are going to struggle with because he himself has struggled mightily playing the position. So he's able to recognize how other guys are going to struggle with things they do defensively.
What happened to Brady's guy at Michigan who like worked in the cafeteria or something who was like his number one scout dude? You remember that guy?
Oh, yes.
Was it Flannery or something like that?
Yes.
Or Flanagan or something
and
like
it,
that?
It was like it was all about it. And then it all went bad in like one playoff game. He like... God, I wish I could remember the circumstances, but he had like everything dialed in and everything figured out, and he either gave him some information or made a prediction, and it's like we never heard from that guy.
Is that the Jet game?
No, it was after that. Huh. It was after the Jets playoff game.
Was that guy?
Nice guy. I mean...
He washes dishes. Here it is.
But he was like one of Brady's confidants, like scout.
Here it is. The story's from 2016. Every week, Tom Brady receives an emailed scouting report from a guy who washes dishes for a living. Jay Flannelly jokes that his title is vice president of cleaning surfaces. But he doesn't kid himself. His job description at two Ann Arbor, Michigan restaurants is straightforward. I'm a dishwasher. He's also a friend of Brady's.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, the dishwasher sends him scouting reports.
Right.
Yeah.
What month was that in 16?
That was in...
Do you think like he's in the back and he takes like a
January of 16, so at the end of the 2015 season.
Do you think they have like forks on the edge and they line up a couple teacups and we're going to go 4-3 and I'm going to just, you know, here, let's put a couple shot glasses out here. You're a little corner. Here's a nickel corner. And we're going to move the guys around. That's how you diagram
things. A secret weapon.
Yeah.
And Hoyer's now a secret weapon. A
couple pieces of bacon.
We may not, I didn't recognize it, but now I know.
Yeah.
Which means if you get a quarterback now, what do you do?
Yeah, that's when and it,
like, can't let Hoyer go now.
Right, no, worst players make the best coaches, right?
They could coach.
Oh, that's a good point.
Like, Jerry Sapolsky's gone.
They could say you're done here, but we're going to pay you the same salary to be a coach.
Oh.
Coaches can throw out practice, right?
Sure. Yeah, Nick Casera does all the time.
Brian Hoyer, quarterback coach.
They
don't have a QB coach right now.
Right, Jerry Sapolsky's gone.
They need one. Be Hoyer. Let's do it.
He likes it here.
He likes the nature of Hoyer.
Lives in Newton. Likes Newton.
Be Hoyer. Be Hoyer. Do you know that his middle name is Axel, by the way?
Nice.
Brian Axel Hoyer. Makes me like him even more today.
Bah.
I got multiple reasons to like him today.
B-A-H.
Bah.
Hoyer, way to go, man.
Nickname
way
sheep.
To go. Figured out those Rams. He dissected McVay in 10 wow. seconds.
I was actually thinking Axel Rose, Jim, not Axel Foley.
Amazon Prime. Now, that's worth it. Amazon Prime is worth it. ESPN Plus, get lost.
Free shipping.
Get the hell out of here.
Right.
ESPN Plus. Your regular content sucks. Now I got to pay to get more of it?
ESPN minus.
No. No, no, no.
ESPN negative.
No, they're getting all their money from the colleges.
Do you know how much ESPN sucks? You know what? When you travel and you're in a hotel room, you watch it more. I don't know why. Because being at the Super Bowl for eight
channels are limited.
And yeah, you don't have as much, you know, to do or watch, and you're watching a lot of TV when you're in your room. It's just always on in the background, even if you're doing work. And it's like, oh my God, you guys are terrible. Who watches this crap all day? And why does my cable bill require like $8 a month out of what you're paying every month to go to you people? Your channel blows.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
This helps my emotions.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I just want to let everybody know that we have done extensive research with regards to this case, this player. And at the end of it, the one thing we did find was he understands and takes full accountability the egregious act that he committed. He is extremely remorseful for his actions. What he has done is he has sought professional counseling with regards moving forward in anything like this situation. Once he understands his situation, he is now working towards being a better man moving forward. By no means, from an organizational standpoint, is this a guarantee of anything. As we all know, you know, trust has to be earned, and that has to be earned with the Cleveland Browns organization and the community of Cleveland.
John Dorsey yesterday explaining away why his team, the Cleveland Browns, signed Kareem Hunt. Way to ruin a feel-good story in Cleveland.
Oh, man. And I was in on Cleveland. I mean, I'm still going to watch it because I like Baker Mayfield. I see how the new coach does there and all that. But yeah, you have two good young running backs. I know Hunt is good. He's a good back. You signed a guy to a team in a city where he actually kicked and beat that woman. This happened in Cleveland. And then you're going to sign him.
Yeah, he's from there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He's an Ohio guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
John Dorsey was the guy who drafted him in Kansas City.
Yep.
And now he's the guy who signed him in Cleveland.
Roll the dice. He's remorseful.
He does.
I love this. He's remorseful. And
he does it only.
Learns his lesson.
Only a couple of months after the video surfaced of him shoving and kicking a woman. He does it long before the NFL finished, you know, their investigation. I don't think they're anywhere near close to wrapping that thing up and deciding what his punishment will be. He could miss many games. Adam Schefter suggested yesterday he could miss 10 or 12 games at the start of the year.
The minimum's at least six. Like, six is just the jumping off point right there. It's probably going to go to more than that. I don't understand it. What, to have his rights in a year?
So,
I mean,
you have his rights, and beyond that,
deal with his baggage and questions?
Do you know that at the end of the year, he's a restricted free agent?
Right.
They still own his rights.
Right.
After the year.
Yeah.
On the one-year deal that they signed him to.
Yeah.
They have Nick Chubb.
Yep.
They have Duke Johnson, who is not obviously in the same class, but still, they don't necessarily have a strong need at running back to want to bring Kareem Hunt in.
Right.
They've got a new head coach who's going to try and establish, you know, everything that goes along with building a program.
You're about two games shy of making the playoffs last year, you know, and just all the feel-good stuff coming out of Cleveland is just kicks you in the nuts. This is what it does. And I'm not a Kaepernick guy. I've never been a Kaepernick guy. But I wouldn't blame people for arguing this one, to bring that cap. And this is what's going to happen. I don't know. It's two totally different situations. But people are going to call him bitch, and people talk about, well, yeah, you tolerate these type of players, but God forbid you have a guy like Colin Kaepernick that takes a knee. And I'm not doing that. But I wouldn't blame you for arguing it, because it's ridiculous that this kid's just going to surface and go to his hometown and get to play for the home team. And, well, you hit her there. But he's remorseful, though. Everybody deserves a second chance. You know, it's just, it's, I don't know, it pissed me off when I saw this yesterday. Because, like, I would go out of my way during the season to watch Cleveland, take a peek at them. So I think they're a team that's on the rise because of the quarterback. Quarterback's fun to watch. They have a good, solid young defense. So now you got to deal with this. So Zach Taylor, who is the new head coach, because I guess he rubbed butt paste on McVay's butt at one time when he was a baby. Now it's to deal with the, yeah, Kareem Hunt questions every week. How's he doing? Have you talked to him? Is he in the building? Well, oh, he's suspended. He's not in the building. Well, week seven, guess what? Boom. He's back. Right in there, right in the mix. Say the team's jamming. Say they come out of the gate and are pretty come out of the gate pretty fast. They got a good thing going. And you're gonna inject this into your locker room? You're gonna do this week seven? No thanks.
What was that about the butt paste?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Like Boudreaux's butt paste?
Who's the head coach? Zach Taylor.
No, Zach Taylor's in Cincinnati.
I'm sorry.
Freddie Kitchens.
Freddie
the guy
Kitchens,
who was the offensive coordinator
that's
last
on
year
me.
Got elevated.
Damn it. Stupid Ohio teams. They're all the same. That's on me.
All right.
That's right. Zach Taylor's in Cincinnati. Well, he's the one to rub butt paste
so
on.
Here's what I think. Kareem Hunt, tremendous talent, right? No one's going to deny him that.
No, I know that.
You just ruined Cleveland's story.
Yeah.
I'm out on Cleveland.
No, like it makes you think about Dorsey.
Take
like,
no joy in this anymore.
What kind of guy is Dorsey?
No joy in watching the Cleveland Browns, we'll call it their renaissance, yeah, right? Yeah. You know?
Well, it was fun while it
coming
was.
Of age.
It was fun. It was fun. Nice run.
That was fun for one season.
Yeah.
Forget it.
Good for you.
Screw you guys. I'm out on Dorsey. I'm out on your Browns. Forget it. Can't lose enough now. Can't lose enough for me.
Yeah, I heard that. Heard that signing yesterday. I'm going to call Jim Louth and tell him to play me the Cleveland Sucks song. Hey, yeah.
Can't
hey,
lose enough.
In Cleveland. Ugh.
That's how I feel about that. Sure. I mean, at some point, are these guys going to get back into the league? If you're good and you're still young, yes.
That's a key.
The He's domestic good. Violence guys are going to get back into the league, but I don't have to root for them. I don't have to like your team. I don't have to like you. And
see,
I'm not going to.
See, that's the thing now.
And I'm going to root against you. I'm going to root against you and your team.
Yes. Is he that good now that all that other stuff supersedes everything? You know, and that's the thing. That's a question you would ask yourself about Kaepernick. No, see, that's the problem. He's not that good to where you have to deal with everything else that comes with it.
Kareem Hunt, different type of player. Kid's good. Kid can run.
We're going to talk to Dan Shaughnessy on the phone coming up in just about 2 minutes from now, but I do want to get in a couple of calls before we do that. Adam and Lowell, go ahead, Adam.
Hey, guys. If I'm late in the first round and Murray's still there, I grab him. I'm not worried about him leaving and going to play baseball because he didn't get drafted by the Yankees or Cubs. He got drafted by the Oakland A's, that fleabag organization. Imagine playing for the Oakland A's double-A team. Anything's better than that. And whatever producer said that, if the Patriots draft, he'd go to play baseball, you're nuts. Thanks, guys.
Okay, but at least in baseball, you'd be working towards something. You'd be playing and possibly making it to the major leagues in the time that you would be sitting on the bench in New England. Plus, I don't believe him today when he tells you how committed he is to football.
Why?
Everything he said over the last month plus has been sort of wishy-washy or complete non-answer.
Weighing both options. Yeah.
Right. So I'm not convinced that he's all about football and doesn't care about baseball and wants to. He could change his mind again.
Yeah.
He absolutely could change his mind.
You should send that video of him, that baseball that he hit. He sent our text chain.
Oh, I don't think that one. I don't think we can do that. I don't think that would work. Jim and Marlboro on Brian Hoyer. Jim.
Hey, guys. So I don't remember if I saw this on Twitter, if I saw it on the mic'd up Super Bowl part, but Brady, there's a point where Brady hugs Hoyer and then looks back at him and says, We couldn't have done this without you. You knew what you were talking about or something like that. And with all this coming to light, it totally makes sense now. Like, it seemed like out of the blue, like just Brady patting him, you know, on the tail end and saying, you know, great to be on the team with you. But this just adds up. Like, I can't believe how simplistic, and you don't change anything with calls or anything like that going from one.
I was calling the run for three quarters when they would bring that offset tight end and they would flex him in between the tackle to the right side and their other tight end. Two tight end set. And what they would do, they bring jet motion left to right. And I go, here goes the handoff. Here comes the handoff. And it happened seven straight times. And he never deviated from it. After New England stuffed them. But to commit to the run, commit to Gurley, commit to the run. But it's the same freaking formation. It's almost like they had eight plays and that was it. Like, you watch Kansas City, they're night and day. More smoke and mirrors and misdirection than the Rams. I go back to that Thursday night game. What the hell happened to the Rams since that game? That shootout that they had with KC. Like, that was a hell of a game. They went downhill after that. All downhill. Now, granted, they won a couple games at the end and, you know, probably shouldn't have beat the Saints, but it's for another day.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.